Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much. Listen, I loved getting those voice notes, and you can keep them coming. You know, it's a very big day, and I think you and I will be affected tremendously if this goes through. And yeah, it's affected. So I'm very happy to take your calls in 086-000-00959. We've got, as usual, Ntabiseng Dubazana in studio today. To take all your legal questions, please, guys, 086-000-00959. Voice notes on 063-688-0959. It's a really, really safe space. You don't have to give us your real name if you don't feel like it. But Ntabiseng will assist you wherever she can. Absolutely any legal matter, she's here to do that. So Ntabiseng, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Oh, isn't it lovely to have you in studio? It's always so nice to have you in studio. Okay, so you've got some big stuff to talk to us about, a criminal record.
Yes. Mm. So usually when we get people who get arrested for whatever, right? The first thing that happens is that you are, when you're detained, bail application happens. So what do they do while you're detained? They take your fingerprints.
Okay, wait.
Yes.
If and when somebody, let's say you are stopped at a roadblock and they say, please blow. And there's a suspicion that you blew and you have had too much alcohol in your system. And then they take you in. What is that called? It's not, is it arrest? It's not an arrest. It's not an arrest, is it?
They hold you. Because remember, the breathalyzer, it's not legally binding.
This is it. They need to also get a blood test.
Blood sample. So what they do is that if the breathalyzer, I think it has to be over 0.97 milligrams on the breathalyzer for them to determine whether or not you've consumed too much alcohol. And with that, it gives them a reasonable cause to hold you, at least to detain you long enough for them to take you to a clinic or a nearby nurse or whatever, somebody who works with them to draw your blood. And remember, they don't need your consent to draw your blood.
So just to be clear, alcohol doesn't mean alcohol only that you had a party with.
Yes.
It could also mean alcohol from medication.
Correct.
But that's, so when people say, but it was not alcohol, it doesn't matter. It's still alcohol.
Yeah.
You are not okay to drive.
Yes. 0.3 milliliters.
So if you are taking medication and just read your labels there, ask your doctor, there are different schedules of medication.
Yes.
Some medication is going to have too much alcohol, and it will have almost the same effect as the alcohol that you drink for fun.
Yeah.
So don't now argue with the police and say, I can't, give medication. Yes. The point is that you are not necessarily supposed to be on the road with that much alcohol in your system, whatever the story is.
Mm.
So let's just pass that thing.
Yeah.
When they do take you in, what's that called?
You're just being arrested.
It's arrest.
It's just an arrest. Mm-hmm. And because they still have to wait for your blood alcohol to come back from the laboratory, they tend to just either release you out on normal bail if you end up in court, or you are just released out on warning from the police station, and that's that. Life goes on. They will send you a subpoena to say, please come to court maybe a year or two later, because there's that much backlog in the lab. So as a result, you know, you chill a little bit until your results are back, and then they call you back into court. So if it so happens that they don't just release you from the cells, but they take you to court for bail application, this is where the issue, your fingerprints comes in, because your fingerprints are sent to Pretoria, wherein they check check your SAP 69s, whether you have previous convictions. So if you've been convicted of a similar offense, the likelihood of you getting a warning as bail, slim to none.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you need to clarify the differences, ne?
Yes.
Police record, arrest record, and criminal record.
Okay. So criminal record, police record, same thing. That is your SAP 69s.
Okay.
Yes. So your criminal record is stored under what we call an SAP 69.
Yes.
So all your previous convictions from the first time you ever got arrested in 1980-something till now.
For stealing chocolate at the supermarket.
Right there. They are all there. And then arrest record is every time you get... They don't do it anymore, though. It's stopped now. It used to be that every time you get arrested, you get your...
fingerprints.
Yes. And then you sign a warning statement every single time.
Okay.
So now what happens is that once you get arrested, they swab. So they get your DNA, they put it on the system. So that if you are arrested and then they look into the system to check if your name is on the system, they don't have to re-swab, re-fingerprint, re-anything.
Oh,
so your name is just that you were once detained, but you were never convicted, you were never... So it won't appear on your previous convictions.
It's just there for their own records.
Yes, yes. So even if you were to fly somewhere, it's not going to affect you in any manner or form.
Mm.
So you'll be okay. Yeah.
So the arrest record will not necessarily affect your... livelihood, whether you're applying for a job and all of that.
Yes, 100%.
Because you are not convicted.
You're not convicted. So the only important thing with your arrest record is that if your matter gets struck from the roll, maybe the state is taking too long for their investigations, or the state decides to provisionally withdraw the matter, ensure that you wait. I think... we wait a good 2 months to see if the state is going to reinstate the matter or not. Should they fail to do so, then you go to the police station where your matter is being held. So if you're in Randburg Court, you go to the Randburg Police Station. Likely it will be in that particular police station. And then you request that, because in your, when you go and take your fingerprints and you're going to fly, it's going to show a pending matter against your name. So they just need to update that record so that it doesn't say pending. It says with, whether it's provisional withdrawal or whatnot, so that whoever is trying to check if you are worthy of flying or whatever, or leaving the country, can say that you are not being prevented as a result of any legal issues. So you need to make sure you update that as soon as possible.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think we now sort of have it all under control. Okay, this very interesting story, the HIV in marriage court case.
Yes. So in this particular matter, the parties were going to get married. They love each other and all of those things, wonderful things. But the condition of the husband in this particular matter was, listen, this HIV status thing is very important to me, and I would like for us to get tested. So there was a delay.
This is the man.
The man.
At which stage in this relationship?
In the Mojolo engagement stage. So let's
before he asked his uncles.
I hope so. In the judgment, it doesn't say whether it's before that part. But anyway, the request was, let's get
tested.
And then he got tested, his results came out. Her results delayed, but they'd already set a date for the wedding. So now it was
right there when there's a delay, ne? You know something's going on. He's came.
He's clean. He's good. Shows us to partner. Partner is waiting. They retested, and then those also took long and all of that.
She was interfering. Mm-mm. She knew.
Yeah, ne?
She knew.
Yeah. So, it went on, and then eventually, like, okay, fine, let's get married. Okay.
She knew.
They got married, and then she found out. Two weeks after, she found out that she was HIV positive.
She knew. Guys, is it just me? Okay, let's pause there. Because maybe I'm being unfair. Anonymous is calling us with a question. Anonymous, thanks for calling. Good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Anonymous?
I'm also good.
Okay, good. How can we help you?
Okay, my question is, I was once arrested, and I appear at court, and my case was finalized with caution, warning, and caution. Yeah, okay. Discharge.
Mm.
And I was told that I can clear my name. I don't have to pay any lawyer. I just go to the magistrate and apply for, what do you call this room again? I can't remember.
Mm.
Yes. But I have tried to do that. It seems as if it's a problem.
No.
What happened was on my my docket.
Yes.
It was written that I paid the fine of 1,500, and which is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Was there a fine that you paid at all, though?
I didn't pay any fine.
Oh.
Yes.
But the magistrate said that they're cautioning you and discharging you. Am I correct?
Yes.
That's a previous conviction. I don't know who misled you, my love. Because that is basic. Okay, in terms of Section 296, Section 276, these are the different forms of sentencing that are available to magistrates, judges, etc. So they don't necessarily have to give you a sentence or whatnot. But they like saying, super kamunwana. You know,
yes,
and
yes.
That is still, unfortunately, a previous conviction. So with that, you don't just go to a magistrate to go clear this. You need to follow. You need to wait. Unfortunately, you need to wait 5 years minimum for you to go and clear it at Pretoria or the nearest head office for where you are, because you need to clear your criminal record for it to appear fine. Because Honajena, if you were to get arrested for something else, when they check your SCP 69s, whatever the charge was that you were cautioned and discharged for, it's going to appear there's a previous conviction.
Sure. So meaning I have to wait for a period of 5 years?
Yes. Yes. But usually if it's a caution and discharge, it's not as serious as other sentences. So for example, if you were 5,000 rand wholly suspended for extra whatever amount of years, ne? So they usually have exceptions. So but you still need to go to the head office, your SAPS, just to get do you qualify for that clearance? Yeah, ding. Yeah, when the sentence is less than a fine or a time in prison, because a fine hangata, it's suspended for a certain amount of years, which means that in those 3 years, in those 5 years, if you are found guilty of an offense similar to that, then that sentence kicks in as well. Wow, bon. So since Mona, there's nothing that is hanging over your head in that there's no suspended sentence, why not just go to the nearest head office, let them sort you out, and then do all of that. Alternatively, you can apply for presidential pardon because your sentence is so low, but that takes so long. So just go to the police station.
So. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. Should we take a quick break? Let's do that and we'll continue our conversation around HIV and that particular marriage. Let's take a quick break. All right, we are back with Ntabi Singh. I just want us to go back to a point Ntabi Singh was making earlier, just so that people get to understand. You were talking about this payment of a fine,
yeah,
and feeling like you're victorious. I can just pay and go home.
Yes.
What does it actually mean?
So when you are in court, and let's say you are caught with a small amount of zol or drugs or
you
alcohol,
stole something in the aisle,
you know, anything of the sort, and then whether it's the police that are saying patala fine 100 rand and you'll go home, or the prosecutor who has the docket and says, ah man, it's only like a can of juice or whatever, patala AG admission of guilt fine, 100 rand, and go home. You will go home that day. You won't even appear in front of a magistrate. It's just recorded in a book.
But it will be recorded.
It's a previous conviction. It is a previous conviction. And a high sila when you get arrested for something.
So admission, it's like an admission.
It's literally an admission
you
of guilt.
You just said it's okay.
Yes.
You tweeted or I had weed or whatever the story was.
Yes.
But I have admitted that I'm guilty.
Yes. You have no idea.
The court didn't have to hear me.
No.
I just told them that I am guilty.
Yes. Mm. And you have no idea how many people get arrested for some random thing, whether it's drunk driving or negligent driving.
And because you just want to go home quickly.
Yeah. And then when the SAP 69s come out, it says previous conviction theft. And someone's like, but I've never stolen in my life. And then the year is written there. It was 2025,
whatever. And we must remind you.
Yeah, and then you're sitting there going, oh, no, but it was a can. I was told to get a fine and go home. It's a previous conviction. If you were found in possession of matekwana manyanyana.
But even if... So I think that the most important part is that even if at the time all you want to do is to... Let's just forget about this.
Yes.
Let's forget it happened. And maybe you're not even guilty.
Mm.
But you didn't get a chance to prove that because you just, by paying that, you've already said, I am guilty.
Yes. And most of the time, the amount is low to convince you to pay. $100, it's very quick for you to pay that and go home. 1,500 is not
And maybe
much.
It was just a misunderstanding.
Correct.
But you don't have a chance to prove that.
No. Because once it's gone, it's gone.
Once you've paid, you've paid.
You've paid. And you come, your SAP 69 there in a previous conviction of possession of drugs. Because it won't say you had 0.0.
And you won't say, it won't say you just wanted to go home.
No. Key your possession of drugs. Now your employer-to-be is like, but your SAP 69 says possession of drugs. What was happening? Now you have no memory of that. And Otola, you were in somebody else's car, for example. They searched the car.
It had nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and then you paid an AG and then you went home. Yet that drug had nothing to do with you in the first place.
Jeez, okay. Just guys, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful when you do these things. And if you are in a pickle, if you are in a situation where you're not sure what's happened, just give us a call. We'll be able to assist. 086-000-0959. Tabitha, we were back to this HIV and marriage court case. So my take was that the lady knew. You can't have these tests being delayed twice. And then, is it 2 weeks after the marriage?
Yes, 2 weeks after the marriage.
And suddenly... It comes out that she's obviously HIV positive.
Yeah. So actually the judge's words mirrored yours a little bit to say...
She knew.
It doesn't make sense
she
that
knew.
You test at the same time,
she
at
knew.
The same place, nah. but her she, results...
Twice.
...were questionable, that they were not coming
twice.
Out.
Nah.
And then when she found out, she still kept quiet. She didn't
Shame,
tell
man. She was
her
afraid.
Partner. Yes, those were her words when she testified, actually. Mm. And then she chose not to tell him. And then he found out. I forgot how he said he found out. And then he confronted her. And now she wanted to turn the tables on him, saying, how is it that I have HIV? There's no way. There is absolutely no way. He's like, no, it's fine. Let's go test again. Not a problem. If you're saying, I'm the culprit, let's go. They tested. He still came out negative. He still came out positive. So her testimony in this matter, she said, but there are some people who have the kind of blood type that conceals HIV. And like, it was a very interesting judgment to read. And with all of that, now she wants, because what the husband had prayed for in his particulars of claim was for her to forfeit everything. That she would have a right over in terms of the marital regime, which is in community of property.
Mm.
And she was arguing that, no, she shouldn't forfeit because in actual fact, he's the one that gave her HIV.
Mm.
So after the court listened to all of these things and looking at the evidence and whatnot, we need when it comes to forfeiture of assets, the court in terms of the Divorce Act Section 9, they need to look at the length of the marriage, the severity of the crime, so to speak, of the other party, and you know those are the main important things that the court looked at. So this marriage was only about 9 months, 9 months old. It's not long, but looking at the deceit that came from the defendant, the court said it believes that the concealing of HIV and knowing that had she exposed her HIV, there would never have been a marriage in the first place was already horrible enough. So she forfeited every single thing.
The marriage was annulled.
It was a normal divorce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but she didn't have a claim over the estate. She didn't get anything.
Oh, batong. Okay, let's go to Anonymous in the East Rand. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Great. Thanks for calling. Sure. Can I please ask you...
What are you saying?
Your visit here, there. I've got a question to ask.
Sure.
I once been convicted on 2022.
Mm.
Actually, the case started 2021. It ended 2022 it was May.
Mm-hmm.
So, after the conviction, I've been fined the fine of 2,600,
mm-hmm.
of which I did been charged the fine of 2,600 on the case that I was doing, on the matter that was done against me.
Mm.
So the following day, I paid the fine and I'm released from the jail.
Yes.
Then after the time goes where I'm waiting, they have this thing of checking the fingerprints.
Yes.
I went forward for the audit.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. So I went front, they do the chain of fingerprints check, and when the fingerprint, the result, when they came back, they say the case is pending.
Oh, okay.
Which I was already being charged.
Yes.
So I want to know, how should I do it? Because at work, they give me the chance that I have to go back at the police station where I was arrested.
Yes.
To give them the paper of their printout, and they can help me out to remove the fingerprints on the system.
Okay.
Is it possible that this thing can happen?
So your conviction is still within, it's too early. You're supposed to wait about 5 years for you to have a clearance certificate, right, to clear your criminal conviction. The fact that you were given a fine and you were in custody, I believe it was a fine, alternatively a time in prison. If you pay the fine, you can leave. So with that on its own, then it means that you would probably have to wait at least 5 years for you to get a clearance certificate. But with regard to the pending aspect of your case, go to the court. Akira, you have your case number, right? Yeah.
Yes.
You go to the court, you go speak to the prosecutor, to the clerk of the criminal court, ne? And then you give them the case number so they can give you a copy of the judgment. So on the charge sheet, every time Akira Wahopola, whenever you appeared in court, the prosecutor will always give a magistrate a piece of paper to keep writing on. That's what we call a charge sheet. That charge sheet has a copy of your judgment. So the fine and everything, just to prove that the matter is done. But where is it? The copy. And you take that copy, because that copy will have what we call the CAS number, the CAS number. That CAS number is the docket number. So we got the docket number, we got the judgment, you go to the police station, then they have to update it onto their ACP 69 to show that the matter has been concluded and you've been convicted and whatnot. So that Musebetsin, they can see that it's no longer pending, it has been dealt with. Now, the issue of it being removed from your name, you might have to wait 5 years, but how the police station just ask if you qualify for early clearance. If they say yes, then you will be sorted. If not, then you'll have to wait for 5 years.
So now the only step that I have to take is that I make a court.
Yes.
To request a case number that was on my name. Then after that, I take it to the police station.
If you have the case number currently, how fitla to the clerk of the court, you request the charge sheet under that particular case number. Ne? And then, ukupe wetsa copy, the charge sheet. They will probably charge you 150 per copy or whatever. And then, how that charge sheet, because the first page of the charge sheet, it has your CAS number, the docket number. So, when how your police station otsere the copy of the charge sheet, they're going to look at the CAS number at the police station to trace the docket. How about all the docket, then they can update it on their SAP 69 system so that it removes pending to finalized.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I don't have a case number, like written one, solid one in my hands, so I can only go there with my ID, then they punch my ID.
Yes.
The thing to reveal.
Yes. They should be able to assist you.
Okay, man. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you. Thanks, Anonymous. I think we've got, let's go to Tepiso first before we go to a voice note. Tepiso, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
We good. Thanks. Thanks for calling, Tepiso.
Tepiso, I just want to ask you something.
Yes,
I'm an attorney by profession.
Yes, sir.
And I've got a very embarrassing question to ask.
Yes, sir.
You know, the family members and friends will always be the ones to say, "Where's it going? Hang a twaddle." Almost everyone say that.
Yeah.
And I keep explaining, guys, now I'm a construction, engineering, and mining law attorney.
Yeah.
I don't do the thing.
Yes.
So I got a friend of mine, very close friend, very khudilele. The guy got arrested for drinking and driving recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know how, I don't know any procedure. I've never done any criminal work, nothing. But then they asked him for, like, when do you want to appear, right?
Mm.
For appearance in court. I don't know if that's an option that they could ask you. Because come court writing, in our normal civil procedure, you just get an allocated date, that's it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but all fingerprints and everything else, and that's as far as I know from his explanation.
Okay.
However, I do not know how to proceed. How do you assist? But how about time when we know it's okay? How about talk? Call phone in our way. I don't know why it's about. How are your family members and friends?
Yeah.
Don't say this.
I know the feeling. I know it. So listen, Hangata, they won't say, when do you want to appear? They will. They don't have a date. I can't hopefully when you get arrested for drunk driving, right? They will breathalyze you and whatnot, and then come around, they're going to draw your blood. That blood has to go to the lab. Lab has backlog for years. So you are not going to get a date within the next 12 months. It's not going to happen. So, even if he said to them, I want to appear next week, he's not going to appear because the prosecutor has to decide whether or not it's ready for trial. For it to be put on the court roll. So, for now, he must relax. He's not going to get a court date anytime soon. He must just wait for a subpoena. And then when that subpoena arrives, it will give me a court date. I'm going to appear. And that subpoena, Hangata, it's Amaya with the charge sheet. And the charge sheet will show how much blood alcohol content there was at the time of his arrest. And that will determine whether or not the matter will be placed on the roll. So if it's below 0.05 milliliters, then he should be good to go. They'll still make him appear. And you can do the reps for him, representations. And then he can do community service, and then charges will be withdrawn. But if it is over 0.05, then it becomes a little bit of a problem.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you. Thanks.
No problem.
We've got a voice note.
I wanted to ask a question regarding, so there's a company that's leasing, or let's say rent to buy cars for Uber. So you pay a weekly payment, and there was a contract signed, right? And in the beginning of the term. So I read through the contract thoroughly. So now this company wants to put new rules that are not in the contract. So how do you go about it? Do you sue the company or do you take it to court? Because now they're saying that because they see that the cars are being used like too much. So, and it was unlimited kilometers, you understand, when the contract started. Now they want to limit the kilometers because they see, because some drivers make more money than they actually should. So is there a legal way to stop them from doing such?
What rubbish. Then they should. I mean, the person is in business.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as more money than they should.
Yeah, yeah. So it always depends what the contract says. There's usually those hidden clauses, fine print, that will say that the one party is at liberty to change certain things. But usually that clause is accompanied by, it has to be per agreement or per negotiation in between the parties. So just go back to the contract. Check if there's some way that says that they have exclusive right to change the contract. If that's the case, then you might be in a little bit of trouble. But with that being said, courts have also recognized that there are contracts that are concluded malafide.
That are not just, they're not justified.
Yes. So you can also take it up with the courts and say, no, this is not right. This is what the situation is. But first, go back to the contract. Make sure that there's no clause that says that, and if there's none, it gives you even more ground for you to proceed with taking them to court. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Let's just take a break, and then I'll come back with your calls, 086-00-00-959. Your voice notes as well can come through on 063-688-0959. Okay, thanks very much for taking your time to give us your call, to send a voice note, to send us those questions on WhatsApp. So what you can do is that you can do that also on X. It's now called X. Mm. At Pemelo Modine, at Ntabiseng Dubazana. Okay, Ntabiseng, I've got a question here that I need you to come and have a look at, because there is a way to do this thing in the technological way. Okay, so there you go.
What is an expungement versus the 5-year claim? Oh, yes, that's exactly the same thing. Expunging your record is exactly the same thing. I just use clearance for ease. So you're expunging your record, making sure that it is removed from your name. Mm-hmm. So that is basically what I'm talking about. So it ranges between 5 and 10 years, depending on the kind of crime, one, and the kind of sentence that you would have received. So it's the same thing, really.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So it's interesting. What would you have to do? You know how we always think if you have money, you can get away with anything. What would you have to do? What qualifies you to get it expunged?
It's just the waiting period. Nothing hectic, really. There are some attorneys, unfortunately, we don't do it, but there are attorneys that actually specialize in an expungement of records, who would know the process, because they would do this on your behalf. Because when you do it yourself, it tends to be slower because you don't know who to speak to, where the letters need to go, and the process. So there are attorneys who actually do it, who assist with expungement of records. So,
and it's just maybe just going through the motions.
Yes.
Not necessarily that, you know, how somebody who has a good behavior record in jail would qualify for, I don't know, early parole or whatever, something like that. It's not that. It's just that you can apply.
Yes, yes. You just wait for your time. So usually, I always say give it like 2 years. Try and see
if the 5-year thing?
So it's usually between the waiting period.
Before you can
make the application.
Oh, I see.
Yes. 5 to 10 years for you to make that application. Because in court, for example, when your SAP 69s come out, if you haven't expunged your record or cleared your record, what would happen is that all your previous convictions from 1980 something up until 2025 appear in that way. And they show that in this date you were arrested for this at that date and whatnot. But anything that is older than 10 years, the court doesn't even consider as a previous conviction. They ignore it completely.
So is there a point?
The point that for you, for your personal things, for work, for all of that.
Oh, I see what you mean. But in the court,
they don't care.
They move on. But you would struggle, obviously, to get a job and so on. So that's why you would go through this process.
Go through that process just to have it removed. Mm. But otherwise, how you're caught, and the one and only time you were arrested was in 2000.
Mm.
And it pops up. The court isn't even going to look at it at all. They ignore it like it never happened because it's older than 10 years.
It doesn't matter what the crime is.
It's older than 10 years.
Doesn't matter what the crime is.
Doesn't matter.
That's quite something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite something. Because I would have imagined. So how does that then compare to this whole register thing that we're trying to make, bring into the law?
That would be interesting to see, because what would it mean? Would it entail that?
Yes, that CPA, if I was amended, once a predator 10, 15 years ago, can I still be flagged if the court doesn't care?
And that's the thing, because now it means we have to amend the Criminal Procedure Act. It means we have to amend the General Law Amendment Act. So it will, and we also have to amend the Sexual Offences Act. And probably to the extent of the POPI Act, because that's somebody's personal information, whether they're a criminal or not. But I think that POPI aspect can probably be dealt with in terms of the Constitution, that because of what you did, Section 36 could kick in to limit your right to privacy. So that would probably be dealt with. But now, what happens to the rule that when you have crimes that are older than 10 years, no court considers it? What then? Are we going to amend it? So I think there are a lot of things that the legislature would have to look at before they enforce the issue of registering sex offenders.
All right. We've got Anonymous in Ekurhuleni. Hello, Anonymous. Anonymous, hi.
I just want to find out. I will listen to the radio. I just want to find out how long does it take for an employee to respond to the charges?
In the hearing or through the notice?
I can say in preparation for the hearing, you see, the charges first, and then for the employee to respond to the charges, how long does it take?
Okay, so the employer needs to give you at least between 48 and 72 hours for you to prepare for the hearing. You don't have to respond to the charges. You have to wait for the hearing. And in that hearing, that's when you can respond to the charges, because they'll put the charges to you and say you are charged with this misconduct, or you're charged with this theft or breaking whatever policy of the employer. And then in that way, they're going to give their evidence that proves that you did this thing. And if you have a response, you have a response. If you have evidence, you have evidence to prove that you did not commit this thing. And you are allowed, that time is for you to also acquire your witnesses who will assist you there in your hearing, and also to get representation. But representation is either your colleague or shop steward or what is this? Union rep. Attorneys are not allowed there, but you can get advice. It doesn't matter, from any attorney, just so that they can give you a guideline of what to do when you get into the disciplinary inquiry.
It's tricky. If the issue would be to get an employee or someone to be a witness.
Or someone to represent
it's
you.
Tough.
It is.
In the workplace, to get someone who's willing to put themselves out like that, especially if the environment doesn't have unions,
yes,
or shop stewards.
Mm, very much so. And most of the time,
you and then you're not allowed to bring a lawyer.
Yeah, you're not allowed to bring a lawyer. So you end up being alone. So that's why as soon as you get a notice, even if you go to legal aid, please go and get some kind of legal guidance on what it is you should do, what it is, how you should respond to questions, and all of that, so you can understand the charges and be able to reply, because sometimes lack of knowledge, you end up incriminating yourself.
I was going to say, and also, you know, just because you feel or you know you are right, doesn't mean that you don't need help.
Yes,
because it's happened before, where a person is so confident, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't need help, I'll just represent myself and answer for myself, only to find that they've put themselves in a corner.
Yeah. And the point of departure, like I always say, that you need to know your company's policy or code of conduct or whatever, however they choose to name it. But also, companies do the wrong thing by not giving their employees the code of conduct or the policy, because you have to know what are your do's and what are your don'ts. You can't just come to me and say, haha, you didn't do this, yet I didn't know that I'm not supposed to do this.
Well, you saw other people do it. And it's not company policy, but they will nail you.
Yeah. So in terms of, for example, Schedule 8 of the Code of Good Practice, Schedule 8 says that if you are going to penalize me for failure to adhere to whatever rule, you as the employer must prove that this rule has been applied consistently with everybody.
Really?
And you cannot bar people from showing that this rule was, yes, applied, or no, it wasn't. Because in order for you to do that, you need to bring Thabiseng, Phemelo, Mdibedi, all of them who work with you and who can prove that this and this and this and this was done to them. And therefore, now your story that you're being pointed out is false.
But that's the tricky part.
Yes.
Because, you know, people may, you know how there's a maybe not necessarily a rumor, but there's just something that everybody knows, right? And it's, I suppose, the norm. But no one will be willing to put that on record when it's time for your hearing to support your argument.
So that's the downside. And that's for the internal inquiry. But once you lose, because it ends up that way, that you lose the internal inquiry and then you end up being dismissed. When you take it on arbitration in the CCMA, they now have to bring that proof.
Got you.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous.
Good evening. Thank you for a good show.
Sure.
I just wanted to find out from the Cindy lady, you know, because so many things. I've got an item friend that used to always say that, no, you must never admit to anything. Now I fully understand why.
Yeah.
But anyway, in my case, what I heard a protection order that was served to me, I think, if I'm correct, if I think clear, I think it might have been 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the person went to apply for it, it was dismissed because obviously, you know, the story wasn't making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they persisted. And eventually they managed to get one. So basically, they started a procedure. But where it was problematic was that I was not allowed to see my child.
Mm.
So to the point that at one stage, I actually got arrested because I had actually got taken in because we share a birthday with my son and all the stuff. I had actually taken a birthday cake to the house according to the conditions of the protection order of, you know, arranging with someone that was there and also making sure that, you know, I'm also away from the kids. So everything was in order, but apparently the complainant had a letter from the senior prosecutor in one of the Durban courts that was instructing the police to arrest me whenever she comes to make a complaint. So being arrested on that particular day, the senior commander even came to apologize to me and all that stuff. And then my lawyer was there. But then they said, no, as they are an extension of the court, they are instructed to arrest me. But because they see that whatever is there, there was no breach of the condition.
The order.
Yes. But because the letter is actually instructing them to arrest me. Anyways, just to cut the story short, I was arrested, and then the plan was that I was going to spend the weekend behind cells.
Mm-hmm.
But by God's grace, that didn't happen. And then whilst we were then before a judge, they advised for, I don't know if I'm getting the term right, ADR, alternative district. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so what happens now with that? Because when I was arrested, obviously, they took the fingerprint and all that stuff.
Yes.
And it nearly actually, because of the pending court case, because I had to travel for honeymoon in that same year as well.
Mm.
I nearly fell. I almost nearly didn't make it.
Mm.
But by the grace of God, the prosecutors actually are the ones that fought for my case. That,
okay.
You know, what we are having here is not right. So the guy can go for his honeymoon and come back. So after that, we then went to ADR. So what happens then with my fingerprints and all that stuff?
Okay, so your matter sounds like it was it withdrawn by the prosecutor, or is it still pending?
Yes. No, it was withdrawn,
okay.
Because from what I could I heard,
yeah,
in the grapevine,
yeah,
in the corridors, was that, no, the prosecutors that fought for my case, because there were like three of them,
yes,
actually threatened even the senior prosecutor that he was, I don't know, flouting the law or whatever, or
okay,
abuse of law.
Okay.
Because I was even requested to pay like 10,000, rand bail.
Yeah,
like unheard of, yeah.
Okay. In that case, then you should relax. Nothing is going to happen. Just go to the police station in which you were arrested. If the matter was withdrawn, make sure they've updated on the SAP 69 system that the charges were withdrawn. Then you should be fine. But with regards to this protection order that speaks,
yeah,
to the child, that for me doesn't make sense, because children's,
no,
court,
yes,
children's court is children's court. Protection or domestic violence is domestic violence, unless in the application she was saying that you were violent towards the child. So if it didn't say that or whatever, mm-hmm, and a social worker wasn't appointed to confirm all of that, the magistrate,
yes,
overstepped they are bound. You can take this matter on review on appeal to the High Court, and the High Court will probably overturn that decision. Okay.
No. It seems in the case order, because we did go there, and then all those things were found that they were not in favor of the child. So I actually live with the child now.
No, that's good.
She didn't want you to go to honeymoon. Yes. Man, don't you see? Thanks, man. Okay, cool. Thanks very much for calling. Okay, we've got another question, but we'll have to wait for next week.
Yes.
Because we've run out of time. But thank you so much, Ntabi Singh, as usual. So quickly, where people find you?
People can please send us an email on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Alternatively, they can call our offices on 087-265-8010 or send a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 8, and Ntabi Singh will be back on Wednesday.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.